Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. I pray that you're staying warm someplace out there. If you're on the highways, be careful as you drive. I understand it's going to get a little colder and a little more of that precipitation out there that could turn into snow of all things in the state of Florida. You ever heard of such? I told people the other day that I moved to Florida to get out of the sleet and ice, snow and the rain that's often this time of the year up in Georgia. But I'm delighted that we can come to you by web radio today, looking forward to what God is going to do in our midst as we face the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, not based on our own ingenuity, not based on our own ideology, not based on our own insights, but the wisdom from God. And we do so because the Word of God is truth. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17:17. So as we look at issues and we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about facing the issues, today we're going to talk about a subject that I believe would be inspirational and challenging to all of us. Simply, if you want to give the broadcast a title, we could call it Freedom Worth Fighting For. Freedom Worth Fighting For. That's a statement, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, from John Stemberger, which is the chief counsel and the CEO for the Florida Family Policy Council. We'll be talking with him a little further in the broadcast, and I pray that you will be listening intently, because as we look at what's happening in our society today, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back and reflect for a moment. Our founding fathers, which, by the way, contrary to some of the watered-down, changed history of America, our founding fathers were professing Christians. And if you want to minusculize a couple of them, and I won't go into detail, that's not the purpose of the broadcast, they were either professing Christians or they were God-fearers, if you will. But nevertheless, based on the authority of the Word of God, our founding fathers gave us what we call today our constitutional republic. It is the form of government that we have. And yet, may I suggest to us that we're witnessing a battle for the very heart of our society. We're witnessing in our nation today a battle for the very soul of America. Christians are now being demeaned and despised and denied our biblical constitutional rights of the freedom of religion and freedom of religious speech as never before. I've got before me on my desk a what you could call, for lack of a better term, a fistful of articles and publications and notifications about what's happening in America today in our Christian society, as we're supposed to be a Christian nation. But one of the problems that we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're finding the persecution of Christian belief and the persecution of the Christian faith, and as a result of that, a dissing, I believe that's the term that the world's using, a dissing of Christianity. So as we think about it, it's not just in America. I read an article recently where the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, made a statement that's absolutely shocking to me. It's belittling to every Christian, whether it's in America or Canada. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, just announced not so long ago that Christians are the worst part of Canadian society, that the Christians are the worst part of Canadian society. And I have articles talking about Christians being persecuted in more ways than ever before, why Christians are persecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to my voice, and you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, you need to understand that there's going to be Christian persecution. It's not something where we can just simply say, well, we got saved, and therefore we're insulated from the persecution in the society in which we live. Jesus himself said in John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted you, they will also persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with the persecution. I was impressed, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when I received the newsletter from John Stenberg and the Florida Family Policy Council, and I was impressed with greatly some of the things he said in the recent newsletter. We're going to be talking with him about some of those things today. But may I remind us, even though our American politicians are not openly saying things in a denigrative fashion about Christianity, they nevertheless think it, and they're acting upon it. We're trying to form laws and regulations and rules that are literally antithetical to Christian belief and to our religious freedoms. Recently, a judge stated that the LGBTQ rights trump, that is T-R-U-M-P, take precedence over religious liberties. Now, I'm appalled by that, but we're finding that on an extremely alarming, increasing basis. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today has much to say about the Christian liberties and what we should do. In fact, it was his statement that I read to you at the outset, freedom's worth fighting for. Let's face the issues. Welcomes today, John Stenberger. John, I believe you're on the line. Go ahead, if you will, please. It's good to have you with us today, John. I'm looking forward to some of our dialogue and discussions. Let me simply ask you to share with our listening audience, first of all, setting the baseline as to who you are and what you're doing. Many people, by the way, John, may not have heard of your organization, the Florida Family Policy Council. Tell us something about, let our listeners hear. And by the way, John, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but this broadcast is heard on about five stations. It's heard at this hour and again this evening at 9 till 9:30 on two additional stations. And so you have listeners that will be listening to this dialogue and discussion from about Brunswick, Georgia, down to about Daytona and from the beaches over to about Lake City. And so you're talking to a pretty wide audience. And my intent in having you on today and having this dialogue and discussion is to broaden the base of your organization that I am passionate about, the Florida Family Policy Council. So briefly introduce yourself, John, and tell us something about the Florida Family Policy Council and what you're doing and why you're so passionate about what you're doing.
Sure. Well, the Florida Family Policy Council was formed about 12 years ago, and we are one of 48 state-based policy organizations around the country that are focused on life and marriage and family and religious liberty issues, all the issues that the culture wants to run away from, all the issues that the scripture speaks clearly to, and all the issues which are necessary in order to have a civilized society. And so this is what we do. We work in the legislature, primarily passing good laws, fighting bad laws. We also help cities and counties when they need it to fight bad things, like the HRO there in Jacksonville. Also, I know that many citizens there in Jacksonville and Duval County have a petition, which we'll talk about later on also. So we've been able to give them some advice and counsel as well.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, before I forget it, let me give you the number if you have an interest in having a conversation with John Stenberger today. John is the president, the CEO, and the chief counsel for the Florida Family Policy Council. You can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. Ask John the questions that you'd like to ask and have him respond to them. John, before I forget it, and hopefully we'll mention it again several times before the broadcast is over, let the people know how they can reach you. And ladies and gentlemen, before he does this, let me just simply say, I believe it is vital for Christians to be informed as to what's taking place in society. I believe it is imperative that we be abreast to and abreast of those things that are taking place that will affect our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and our freedom of religion, as we have known from our constitutional foundation for all of these centuries. John, tell us how people can reach you, email address, website address, whatever you'd like to give. And I'm urging people today to join with the Florida Family Policy Council in getting the emails, getting the newsletters, and participating in what we're dealing with and some of the things that we'll talk about further in the show today, John.
Yeah. So the best way to get a hold of us is on our website at flfamily.org. That's flfamily.org. And there's information there. And we do have an event that's coming up I wanted to mention, and that's our Pro Family Days and Legislative Prayer Breakfast in Tallahassee, January 22nd and 23rd. Our keynote speaker is going to be Pam Tebow, the mother of Tim Tebow. But the theme is Celebration of Life, and we're going to be honoring all the many Crisis Pregnancy Center directors, the pregnancy center directors from all over the state of Florida who will be there, and we're going to honor them. These are ladies mostly that labor, and you know, Dr. Youngblood, in obscurity, doing amazing, remarkable work, rescuing children out of the snatches of death. And so it's just remarkable what they do, and they get very little recognition. So we're going to have the governor honor them and had them a part of our program. So we're really excited about that event. This is our fifth year doing this, and it's just a great time for folks to come up, learn what the issues are, and talk to your legislators face-to-face. So that's January 22nd. All that information is on our website at flfamily.org.
Amen. Thank you for that. John, listen, I'm glancing at your newsletter, and as I have shared with you, I am passionate about the issues that you're passionate about. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to John Stenberger. He is the chief counsel with the Florida Family Policy Council. And John, you've heard me say before, and I'll say to our listening audience, it's rare to find a Christian attorney. And there are a lot of folks that say I'm saved and practicing law, but there's a vast difference in you, your profession and your action as to what you do. John, you stated some of the things in your newsletter recently that I'm thankful that we can discuss today. And you said that the freedoms that we're dealing with, that you're fighting for, is freedoms worth fighting for. John, how would you urge Christians to fight for these freedoms? And what are these freedoms that you're speaking of?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at the Constitution, which are really protecting God's given rights, the first freedoms are religious liberty. And
right.
our whole society is acting as if religion, and specifically Christianity, is some kind of a bacteria or disease. As if we have to have, Dr. Youngblood, a sterilized secular society free of all bacteria and viruses. You know, they treat religion like it's some kind of a bad thing, when the reality is, in the history of our country, the history of the world, the great movements that have brought forth just results, even in the civil rights movement, the end of slavery, has been championed by people who have been passionate about Christianity, because Christianity is the only faith which affirms the individual rights and the dignity of human beings that's made in the image and likeness of God. And that gives us the basis to understand where liberty comes from and why the individual is important in that context.
And in that context, John, if you would broaden that to understanding for our listeners as to what's been taking place in America with the some of the laws and the legislation being passed by some of the local counties and cities and states across America that's called the HROs, the Human Rights Ordinances. What are those ordinances? What do they do? What is bad about them? Why should we as Christians stand against them?
Yeah. So what's happening on the largest scale is that those that are opposing Christians and opposing common sense and nature and tradition are really trying to fundamentally redefine the human experience. That's as broad as it gets. They are trying to redefine what it means to be a human being on every level. And these laws specifically that you're talking about are the primary culprit. And what it is that we currently have non-discrimination laws in every state and every county in America. And those laws prohibit discrimination based upon legitimate, immutable classes, race, constitutional rights when there's religion involved, based upon age. Those are categories you can't do anything about. What our opponents are trying to do is to slip in new categories of sexual orientation and gender identity or gender expression. And when they do that, it creates two problems, lots of problems actually, but two big problems. Number one is there's a threat to religious liberty. Many of your listeners may have known about those that have vocations that involve creative expression, whether those be photography or baking cakes that are really pieces of artwork or arranging flowers. These all involve artistic expression and forms of art, and we believe that those artists should not be forced to be commissioned to engage in services for a ceremony that they believe is immoral. So if a same-sex couple, and where's the greater injustice, Dr. Lundblad, Youngblood, to ask one same-sex couple, one homosexual couple, to go in the phone book or look online and find some other baker or florist, or force one Christian couple, small businessman, to violate his conscience and do something that's immoral? That's the greater injustice here. And so it's really sad that these activists are targeting good faith mom-and-pop businesses that are providing services, creative services and creative products to primarily weddings, and going after them and targeting them and forcing them to do something that violates their conscience. This is why, one of the reasons why these laws are bad.
John, let me ask a question, too, if I got to interrupt for a moment, for our listeners' edification and understanding. Perhaps that listener is saying, well, I'm not a cake baker and I'm not a wedding planner, et cetera, so therefore it doesn't affect me and I just need to be silent. I think you've seen, as I have seen, that's one of the problems that affect or infect the Christian community today, is saying, well, literally, I'm not in that field, so it doesn't affect me. But tell us how this is a trickle-down that not only the cake baker and the wedding planner, et cetera, but if these laws are passed and if they continue to permeate society and take away religious liberties, what does it do for all of us in the Christian community?
Well, that's a great question, because my next point goes right to every small business, and that is, by adding gender expression and gender identity, you now have the situation where any male can act out and pretend that he's a female at any time and use women's showers, locker rooms, bathrooms, and dressing rooms. And this would apply. So if you have a business and you have a man's room and a woman's room, that would all be violated. If you have a business that involves trucking or something that involves showering or whatever for athletics or something like that, then you have to let men use the women's showers and locker rooms and dressing rooms. This is just insanity. If you have a business, let's say your small accounting firm, a high-end professional accounting firm, hires Sally as a woman to be a receptionist, and Sally decides to unilaterally become Sam and have a transgender surgery or whatever it is, transition over a period of 3 years, you can't reassign her to the back room or even let her go because that would be, quote-unquote, discrimination. And so that was a choice that person made. That person wasn't born that way. That person chose to cross-dress. They chose to have a surgery. They chose to, you know, take hormone therapy, whatever it is. That's clearly not a mutable class. So there's even been an Iowa pastor that they have tried to have churches say you have to comply with this. So if you're going to open your doors to the public and not be members only as a church, then you have to comply and become a public accommodation. Now, those were fought back, but the point is, in Iowa, they tried to extend these laws to churches and say, now your bathrooms have to be open to whatever sex people think that they are at any moment. So this could very easily come into any business or any church with these, not quote-unquote, non-discrimination laws, these SOGI laws, sexual orientation, gender identity is an acronym. SOGI is an acronym for sexual orientation, gender identity.
Yes. Well, John, I think you would agree with me that most of these laws simply are threshold laws. Once they pass these laws and get these special exceptions in place, then the next step is to increasingly broaden that dragnet, if you will, so that it will, in fact, include the churches and religious organizations. And they're saying now in many of the cities, states, and counties that, no, we're exempting the churches, but that is a first step to get in the door to do so. John, you're an attorney. Don't we have enough today constitutional protections, the state constitutions across the United States and the U.S. Constitution? Aren't there enough constitutional protections to protect everybody? If that is the case, and I believe you would agree that it is, but speak to us on that issue. If that is the case, why is it that there's a sense that we need these special exception laws? Is there a focused point to that? Is there a rational reason to that? Are we finding these major organizations majorly funded with an agenda? And if so, what is that agenda?
Well, that's a great question. The agenda, the final agenda, is to silence anyone in the society that has a different view than the prevailing sexual revolutionaries. And guess what? every major institution of our society has folded. Major corporations, the public schools, the courts increasingly, legislative bodies, the media, Hollywood is in the can. I mean, everybody has folded. There's only one institution remaining that has a different view and actually has a view consistent with tradition and logic and reason and biology, and that's the church. And so they're trying very hard to go after Christians. And in fact, you could even broaden that much broader. Every world religion, whether it's Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism, none of these religions embrace homosexuality. Now, they view them as different things, maybe unclean, bad karma, but no major world religion embraces homosexuality as a normal, natural thing. So they have a problem with religion as a whole, because unless they want to manipulate the text of those faiths, they're just not going to find acceptance there. So this is one of the reasons why secularism is so popular. They're trying to come after. It's really an anti-religious thing where they're trying to just remove any semblance of religion from society, because this is where their primary last vestige remains. And we know in the Christian faith that marriage, the union of a man and a woman, the act of sex in the context of marriage, which is the only place it's proper, is a beautiful symbol, the symbol of the gospel, symbol of God's love for his church. It's a symbol of the unity and diversity within the triune Godhead. And it's the culmination of all things. The marriage supper of the Lamb is the reason God is fashioning a bride, right, for his church. And so these are all powerful theological things we understand as Christians. And this is why the enemy is seeking to defile and to twist this beautiful institution of marriage and human sexuality so aggressively.
So what you're saying is, John, and I've said this for many, many years about this issue, what you're saying is the ultimate goal of the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance Group, the LGBT organization, which is powerfully, deeply, financially funded across America, the ultimate goal is to break through the final barrier, and that's the barrier of the church, and to force Christians not only to be tolerant, but to embrace the immoral lifestyle and character. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it used to be, oh, just leave us alone. It was kind of a libertarian argument. Leave us alone. Let us just do our thing. Let us be who we are. But that's, we can see now that's not the case. Once they had same-sex marriage, then they want to force people to agree. And if you don't agree, they'll shout you down. They'll call you a bigot. They'll use any tool necessary, politely or rude, to try to force you and bully you in a situation where you're going to buy into their agenda. And so it's a very sad thing. It's un-American. It is unconstitutional. And it's just a pathetic way to advance your ideas. That's not the way America was founded at all. And these are the things we talk about, freedoms worth fighting for. These are the freedoms we're talking about that are worth fighting for. The right to speak freely, the right to believe, to act on those beliefs, and the right to exercise your religion, not just in the four walls of the church, but to exercise freely your religion in society, in charitable organizations out in the world. And so this yes. is the thing that the left is trying to push into the four walls of the church. They're trying to redefine it and say, no, we don't believe in free exercise. We want freedom of worship. That's the new code word. Worship is yes. keep it in the four walls of your church, as if when you walk out of your church, you somehow lose your constitutional rights, which is not the case at all.
And that is simply unconscionable. Ladies and gentlemen, our listeners, I want you to understand we're talking with John Stenberger today. John is the chief CEO and the chief counsel for the Florida Family Policy Council. You can call us at 401-1413 and ask your questions, enter this dialogue and discussion. John, we've got a few minutes left. Let me ask you to speak to the issue of what we're presently doing in Duval County with the petition drive and what we're doing in relationship to we the people being able to have a decision and a voice in the policies that are set by our city council.
There's a group of Jacksonville, Duval County business people and pastors and citizens who have risen up, and there's a movement called Empower Jacksonville. Folks can go to empowerjacksonville.org to learn more about it. But Empower Jacksonville is seeking to basically create a right to repeal laws, unjust laws, passed by the city council. Currently, some counties in Florida have the right for citizens to repeal a law passed by the city council. Others do not. And so since Duval County does not, this would create and empower citizens to repeal any law in Jacksonville, Duval County that are unjust or bad, or that the city council just went off the deep end with, as the HRO. So There's a lot of petitions that have to be collected. It's a bit of a unique thing. You just can't download the petition. You have to find a circulator. But if you contact folks from the website, they will get a petition to you. It has to be signed in the presence of a circulator and witnessed. But we need to have churches and pastors and community groups organize and commit to becoming circulators so that they can submit the petitions and witness them and all that. It's a little bit more involved than a normal petition drive where anybody just signs it, turns it in. But that's what's happening. And the deadline is, the end of January. So we really have to get with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I can interrupt John for just a moment and emphasize to you, our listener, the strategic importance of the time that we're dealing with and the need for you to become involved and get the petition signed. If you're listening and you're in a church and you've not heard anything from the pulpit about this petition drive, let me urge you to go to the website, and John will give that to us again in a moment. Go to the website and get the information. Go back to your pastor and ask the pastor to get the church involved in getting the petition signed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are some pastors that feel that if they do this, they're getting involved in a political arena. And may I hasten to say that is simply untrue. It is a responsibility of the child of God to recognize that we're to be watchmen on the wall, that we're to be salt and light in the society in which we're living. And if there are unjust laws and if there are things that are taking place to try to undermine, tear down, and destroy the Christian family, we need to be involved. John, tell our listeners again the way that they can reach you, the email address, the website address. I want our listeners to get involved and to be involved in the petition drive. There's a need, ladies and gentlemen, for us to get thousands and thousands and thousands of these petitions, and we've got just a few days to do it in. John, speak to that one more time, how they can contact you, how they can pull down the petitions, and how would be the best way for them to speak to their pastors about their churches becoming a collection center for these petitions to be signed.
So in terms of an ongoing issue, if you want to learn what's going on with our organization, ongoing basis, flfamily.org is our website, flfamily.org. Highly encourage you to sign up for our email alerts. That is the best way to plug into what we're doing. Secondly, if you're interested in what's going on specifically in Jacksonville with the Empower Jacksonville movement, the website is empoweredjacksonville.org. And just call the number there, and folks will connect you with the materials that you need to be able to collect these petitions. I believe the final deadline is at the end of February, but we're trying to push as hard as possible to get these things. They need 30,000 of them, and so they're really behind and need to do this quickly.
John, I am thankful that we've had this privilege. We've got about 1 minute left, and let me speak to this for just one moment. I'm sure you're familiar with the House Bill 871 that is introduced in the House by Jay Fant. Tell us what you know about that bill and whether or not you think that it's a good bill and the approach that he's taking to protect the Floridians from things that we're speaking of even now.
Yeah, so Representative Jay Fant right there in Jacksonville has a bill that would push back on some of these SOGI laws, these sexual orientation gender identity laws. It wouldn't comprehensively deal with it, but it certainly would protect businesses. And so it's a good bill. He filed it late in the game, so we're going to be supporting that bill in Tallahassee. That would actually repeal if passed the Jacksonville HRO.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. John, thank you for joining with us today, and I pray that God will continue to give us wisdom as we fight this battle, as Christians ought to get involved in it, and as your statement was, and I am so absolutely pleased with, freedom worth fighting for. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a religious liberty that we must fight for, and it protects not only our generation but our future generations, for our sons and daughters and grandkids in the future. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to our broadcast again tomorrow at this same time as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.